Now, we're going to open up with Mark chapter 11, verse 23. We're staying in line with what God has had me teaching here from the last few Sundays. Confessions. We make confessions about our health, finances, peace of mind, favor of God. And when we make them in line with God's word, things happen. You will have whatever you say. But you must believe in your heart. Verse 23. For assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed, and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. You will have whatever you say. No doubting in the heart. Believing. So that tells me that it takes a believing heart. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, and in verse 10, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. How does one believe? With the heart. So what does it mean to believe with the heart? The word heart in both of these scriptures does not refer to our physical organ, the pump, that pumps the blood throughout our body and keeps us alive. See, that would be believing God with our bodies. We can't believe God with our physical heart any more than we can with our hand or finger. The word heart here is the Greek word cardia. And it means the center or innermost part of anything. The center of all physical and spiritual life. Your spirit. When we talk about the heart of a tree, we're talking about the center, the very core of that tree. And you've ever seen them cut down a tree, you look at the very center. That's the core. That's what makes that whole tree, and it grows from there. And when God speaks of man's heart, he is speaking about the main part of man, the very center of his being, which is the Spirit. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. As I said, man is a spirit being. Now, look to verse 23. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved, blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. You are spirit. The terms spirit man and heart of man are used interchangeably throughout the Bible. We know that man is a spirit because he is made in the image and likeness of God. Jesus, in John 4:24, he says, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. Our worship is of the heart. Our worship must be genuine and it must be true. Because it's all about Him. And that should be our focus. Him. God is a spirit. It is not our physical bodies that are like God. For the Bible says that God is not man. Remember that there is an inward man and an outward man. Man is a spirit. And he has a soul, the mind, the will, and the emotion. And he lives in a physical body. Right? Physical bodies, spirit, soul, live in the earth. Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. And look to verse 28. For you are not a true Jew just because you were born of Jewish parents or because you have gone through the ceremony of circumcision. Paul's talking to the Romans here, but he's also talking to us. No, a true Jew is one whose heart, that word heart is spirit, is right with God, and true circumcision is not merely obeying the letter of the law, rather it is a change of heart, spirit, produced by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and a person with a changed heart, spirit, seeks praise from God, not from people. I think we all want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Well, according to this scripture, the heart is the spirit. And for a change in the Spirit produced by the Holy Spirit, one must be born again. Jesus told us God is a spirit. And we contact Him through our spiritual connection. The Holy Spirit brought about by Jesus when you confess Him as your Lord and Savior. See, once that connection is made, you can call to God. He will hear you and He will answer you. You never have to worry about a dropped call with Him. Doesn't happen. Doesn't happen. And guess what? When you contact Him, you'll never be put on hold. He hears you the moment you call to Him. Don't let your mind be deceived, because that's what the accuser wants you to think. That He's not listening to you, not hearing you. He hears you all right. So when you call out in faith. Turn to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Well, first chapter 14. Chapter 14. And look to verse 14. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. The spirit is not the mind. Some people mistakenly think that the mind is the spirit. However, as this verse indicates, we know that when we speak in tongues, this does not come from our mind, but from our spirit, from our innermost being, from our very core, the Holy Spirit that's in your spirit. The unknown tongue or language you pray in is a spiritual language, and it's God's language. And Satan doesn't understand it. That's why he doesn't want you to pray in tongues. Think about it. He doesn't want you to do that. For the simple reason is, he doesn't know what you're communicating to God about or for. There's times to pray with the knowledge, knowing what you're praying for. But there's times when you don't know what to pray for. That's when you pray in the Spirit. That's what you have that communication for. That's what it's used for. Someone called me years ago and said they had a problem. And they opened up to me. And I said right then and there, I said, I'll pray. And they said, thank you. I started praying. I didn't know what to pray for because I started praying in my head. And then I realized it's beyond what I could think of in my head. So I started praying in tongues. I prayed for about a half hour. And then I go, okay. And then there was a voice that said, you didn't accomplish anything. I went, what? And I realized who was speaking to me. So I said, yeah. Well, I started praying some more about that individual and the problem. And I prayed about another half hour, 40 minutes. And I went, and the voice came back and said again, okay, you wasted some more of your time. And I says, no, I'm not wasting my time. I'm talking to my Heavenly Father. And I started praying in tongues. And I started praying and I didn't quit. All of a sudden, a peace came over me and I stopped praying. And I happened to look up at a clock and over 2 hours had passed. Felt like a blink of an eye. But I had such a peace. I had such a peace that I knew that my heart was communicating with the Father about that specific problem. It took a little bit of time, but that problem was completely resolved. And it was through prayer. When you commit to praying in tongues for someone or a situation, and you pray long enough, you'll go and you'll break that barrier, you'll know it, and you'll have a peace. And you'll know that you have the answer that you've desired. We can't contact God with our body or with our mind. We can only contact God with our spirit. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, classic edition, Jack. Yes. Just so you're keeping up. Therefore, we do not become discouraged, utterly spiritless, exhausted, or wearied out through fear. Though our outer man is progressively decaying and wasting away, yet our inner self is being progressively renewed day after day. There is an outer man and an inner man. The outer man is the body. The inner man is the spirit, and that spirit has a soul. The person that you look at in the mirror, that's not the real you. That's just the house that you're living in. Yeah, what you look at is the house that you're living in. Turn to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I'm going to get this right. Verse 1 and 2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So we have to do something with our bodies. We have to present them to God as a living sacrifice. This means we must be in a continual state of surrender and consecration. Our commitment may begin with a momentous, once and for all, decision. But it must be followed with a daily decision to keep on surrendering ourselves to the Lord. Thus, then, we see that every day of our lives is another day, another opportunity to yield our lives to God, to live for God, to do what He wants us to do, because it's all about Him. The Word says that you are to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Our minds are renewed through the Word of God, and this is something that we have to do. Yeah, and we have to do it daily. Your Bible at home, sitting on that coffee table, will do you no good to renewing your mind if you don't open it up and read it. Don't leave it out there for decoration to impress somebody that comes in. No, pick it up and read it. We are a spirit. We are made in the image and likeness of God. We are a spirit and have a physical body that we are living in. We are more than just mind and body. We are a spirit. We have a soul, the mind, the will, and the emotions. And we live in a body. But God took something from Himself and He put it in us. He made our body out of the dust of the earth. But He breathed into our nostrils the breath of life. How many of you ever taken CPR classes? Okay. And when I read this, but it reminded me of a child's CPR class. Because when you do CPR on a child, you can't hold the nose and prop the head up. You have to cover the whole mouth and the nose to breathe into them. That's what our Heavenly Father did. Because see, we are His children. And that's what He did when He breathed life into us. The word breath in the Hebrew is ruach. And it means breath or spirit. And it is translated Holy Spirit many times in our Old Testament. God is spirit. And like I said, He took something of Himself, which is spirit, and put it into us. And when He did, man became a living soul. So man wasn't alive until then. And he became a living soul. He became conscious of himself, because the body was dead without the spirit. Think about that. Our souls, our intellectual and emotional qualities, they're based upon the physical. Not based upon the physical, but upon the spirit. And when the body is dead, they still exist. When your body's dead, your spirit and soul still exist. Exist where? That's your choice. Look to Luke. And yet we as believers, it's our responsibility to make sure that we get people on the right track so they can make the right choice, because we got to give them the right information that they need. That's what our job is. Okay, look to Luke chapter 16. I want you to see something here. Okay. Okay, Luke 16, look to verse 19. This is Jesus now. He's telling this. It says, "There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And being in torments in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and he saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Then he cried and said, 'Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame.' But Abraham said, 'Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted and you are tormented.'" This is an illustration of the three parts: spirit, soul, and body. Verse 22 says, "The beggar died, and he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom." Who was carried to Abraham's bosom? The beggar, not his body. Didn't say anything about his body, did it? Said, so they were referring to his spirit, the real person. His body was put in the grave, but he was with Abraham. He was in Abraham's bosom. Now the rich man, he also died, and his body was put in the grave. But he lifted up his eyes when he was in hell. Yeah, he opened his eyes there. And although Abraham's body had been in the grave for many years, the rich man saw him. And he recognized Lazarus. Yes, he recognized him. Therefore, in the spirit realm, man looks very similar to what he does in this life. Just making sense? And he cried out to Abraham, "Have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." But Abraham said, "Son, remember." Man is a spirit and he has a soul. So we see here that the soul is still intact. He can still remember. He has emotions. He was tormented. And he was concerned about his five brothers still living. Verses 27 and 28 there in Luke. Then he said, "I beg you therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment." God is a spirit. He became a man. For Jesus was God manifested in the flesh, living in a human body. When we celebrate his birth, the Word became flesh. Jesus. We know that when we leave our physical bodies at death, and we will, And when we do, we are no less men than we are when we had our physical bodies, as we've just read. Because Jesus took on a physical body. And when he did, he was no less God than he was before. We can't know God through our human knowledge, through our mind. God is only revealed to us through his Spirit. It is our spirit that contacts God, for God is a spirit. To believe with all of our heart is to believe with our spirit. To believe independently of our mind or our body. Spiritual things are just as real as material things. God is just as a real person as though he had a physical body. Although he doesn't, he's a spirit. Jesus has a physical body now. Right now he has one. It's a flesh and bone body, not a flesh and blood body. Luke 24. Verses 36 through 39. Now, as they said these things, his disciples are having a conversation. Jesus had recently been crucified, but some of them had met him on the road and talked to him and didn't realize it was him. Some of them ate bread with him, and then when they realized who it was, he was gone. Now they were talking about these things. Now Jesus himself came and he stood in the midst of them and said to them, "Peace to you." But they were terrified and frightened and supposed they had seen a ghost. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is me. Touch me. See, for a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." They thought it was a ghost. But Jesus said, "Touch me. Reach out and touch me." Because ghosts don't have bodies. So he has a physical body right now. A resurrected flesh and bone body. And Jesus, with his physical body now in heaven, is not more real than the Holy Spirit or God the Father is real. Some people think when they hear that God is spirit that it is referring to some sort of impersonal influence. Even though we say that God is spirit, that doesn't mean that he doesn't have a shape, a form in the spiritual realm. Because he does. Exodus 33, you can turn there. We want to look at a couple different scriptures there. Exodus 33. Now, in verse 11, it says, "So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face, as a man speaks to his friend." Although Moses didn't see God's face because a cloud was there. And that cloud was to protect Moses. Then verse 20 says, "But God said, 'You cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live.'" The cloud was protecting Moses. Yet he was talking to him. Verse 22 and 23. So it shall be, while my glory passes by, that I will put you in the cliff of the rock, and you shall with my hand be protected while I pass by. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back. But my face you shall not see. It will not be seen, he's telling. Even though God is spirit, we know that he has a face, we know that he has hands, we know he has a back. He is a form of some kind, right? He is no less real because he is a spirit than he would be if he had a physical body. Spiritual things are just as real as material things. Just as real. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 1, for we know that if our earthly house, that's this body here, this tent is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Now look down to verse 6. So we are always comforted. We are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased. Rather, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. When our bodies are put in a grave, we will still have a building with God, not made with hands. And we shall live eternally in the heavens. So who's going to be absent from the body? We are. The real man, the inward man, your spirit man. You're going to be present with the Lord when you no longer need this body, when it's worn out. When you've accomplished what God has for you to do. Some of you, though, I don't know. You think, okay, you know, God's not using me. So what's the sense of me hanging around? Ask him. He's got purpose for you. Believe me, he's got purpose for each and every one of us. And it doesn't matter if you're 18 to 90. Maybe to 100, he still has a purpose for you. Yeah, you. Because he uses you. You're a testimony to your faith. And other people look at you and they know that they can overcome. No matter what Satan tries to do or tries to come against you with. You have the victory. You're a testimony. That's why he's keeping you here. Each and every one of you are a testimony to God. He doesn't want you going anywhere. He's not on a rush for you to come up here. He's got a purpose for you. You want to know what that purpose is? Well, get in the Word and start praying in tongues. And I guarantee you, it'll be revealed to you. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 4 says, rather let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. Here we see the word heart again. The inward man, our spirit, is called the hidden man. Romans chapter 7, verse 22. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man, our spirit man. So we can see here that the inward man and the hidden man are God's description of the human spirit. A real man is spirit. And he has a body and a soul. With our spirit, we contact the spiritual realm. And with our souls, we contact the intellectual realm. And with our bodies, we contact the physical realm. We cannot contact God with our mind. Neither can we contact God with our body. We can only contact God with our spirit, the spiritual connection. The Word of God is key to heart faith. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. We don't understand our Bible with our mind. It is spiritually understood. We understand it with our spirit or our heart. That is the reason why many, and it was for me too, read certain passages dozens and dozens of times and never understand them or get the true meaning of them. But then one day, boom, the light goes out. And we can see exactly what God is trying to show us through His Word. It's spiritually discerned. And the moment that we do, we understand it then, and we understand it with our heart. We have to get something, and that is the revelation of God's Word. And where do we get it at? In our heart, in the Spirit. That is why we must depend on the Spirit of God to open and unveil the Word to us. Therefore, to believe with the heart means to believe with the Spirit. And how does our spirit get faith that our intellect cannot obtain? The answer is through the Word. Jesus said it. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. The Word is spiritual food. You intake it to become stronger spiritually. Your spirit man will grow and get stronger. To believe with the heart means to believe apart from our physical body. And no matter what your body may tell you, this is because the physical man, this body, believes what it sees with the physical eye. It believes what it hears with the physical ears. Take heed in what you hear. Or what his physical body, his feelings, tell him. See, but the spirit or the heart believes in the Word regardless of seeing, hearing, and feeling. Proverbs chapter 3, 5 through 7. Again, Jack, Amplified Classic. Yeah, you know it. Lean on, trust in, and be confident in the Lord with all your heart and mind. And do not rely on your own insight or understanding. In all your ways, know, recognize, and acknowledge Him, and He will direct and make straight and plain your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Reverently fear the Lord. And turn entirely away from evil. A lot of people, though, they practice verse 5 in reverse. They trust with all their understanding, and they lean not to their own hearts. James chapter 1 here, verse 19. I think that's what I want. Yeah. Okay. It says, so then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak, slow to wrath. That's another one that everybody practices in reverse, right? They're swift to speak and swift to wrath, but very slow to hear. Verse 7 there in Proverbs says, be not wise in your own eyes. Reverently fear and worship the Lord, and turn entirely away from evil. In other words, do not be wise with your natural human knowledge, which will cause you to act independently of the Word of God. Peace for us will be a direct result of heart faith. If we want to walk by faith, the Word must be uppermost to everything else. And as we trust God with all of our heart, a quietness and peace come to our spirit. Philippians 4, verse 7, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts, spirits, and minds, soul, through Christ Jesus. Isaiah 26, verse 3. You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. When we trust in God's Word, which says, my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Know in our heart that everything we need will be supplied, and we don't worry. Peace. We'll have no anxiety. If we are worrying, you know what that means? You're not believing. Our hearts takes courage as we read the Word of God. As we meditate in His Word, our assurance becomes deeper. It's solidified. This assurance in our spirit is independent of our head. It has nothing to do with the human knowledge that we have. It may even contradict human reasoning or physical evidence. But to believe God with our heart means to believe apart from our bodies. Dr. Lillian Yeomans said, God delights in His children, stepping out over the aching void with nothing underneath their feet but the Word of God. The reason that many people are defeated, they accept it. Don't accept it. You are more than a conqueror. You have the victory through Jesus Christ. So that tells me you aren't defeated. Because His Word says, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. And when you get that down in you and you keep saying it enough, then the Holy Spirit's going to rise up in you. And then we know we cannot be conquered. You say that every day. And that confidence will build. And the Holy Spirit in you, speaking to your spirit, going to take authority over anything that tries to come against you. Because it doesn't have any authority unless you let it. Let the Word supersede all those things. And we know this because we believe. We believe. We are called believers. And because we believe with our heart, our spirit, that's why it is a spiritual thing. You make that connection with God. It's a spiritual connection. Believe in your heart the confession you make in line with the Word of God. You will then have what you say. Amen. Healing works the same way. You will have what you say. Quit speaking the symptoms. Quit speaking those things. Speak the Word of God. It will supersede that. And the more you do that, you will attain what you have made a confession unto. You will be healed by the stripes that Jesus bore. You can confidently say that. I am healed by the stripes that Jesus bore. Say that. I am healed by the stripes that Jesus bore. He bore those stripes for each and every one of us. Every one of us. He bore them for me. Nancy, He bore them for you. Healing's yours. Healing is the children's bread. It's yours. Grab it. Take it by faith. Speak to it. Speak to the body. I know I'm not. Bob, tell Lynn, grab it. She's fighting. She's fighting hard. But it's a head thing too. And we got to make sure that we're praying for Lynn. She's not, you can't do this on your own. She's made the commitment and established her faith where she's at. But she needs prayer. Needs prayer. There's another man, I'm going to tell you right, because his faith and the prayers that went behind and have supported Donnie with our prayers. He could have said, oh, woe is me, and given up. But he didn't. But he knows there's people out there praying for him. But because we're praying, we're strengthened of faith. And he's got an awesome lady there who supports him. She doesn't speak doubt and unbelief. And I know it's had to have been hard. But she's not done it. So many of us that have a victory, that have a testimony. There's one sitting right there. His first name is Chet. Chester, in fact. He's a testimony. His faith and the prayers. That's why he's sitting there. Healed, healthy, and whole. Amen. Well, I thank you. Thank you for listening.